Lucas, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time that you've given to us that we can spend in your word this morning. I just pray that you'd help us to have open ears and open hearts for it, that we would learn and grow and become closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the what?
Mutual faith.
Mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual faith. You think about how what we do, whether it encourages other Christians or discourages them or neither way. You know, are we just kind of lukewarm? Notice with me in Revelation chapter 3. And let's see, verses 15 and... Well, maybe a couple volunteers here. How about volunteer for Revelation 3, 15 and 16? Brother Barry, and then let's see, Brother Jim, did I see your hand up? How about, let's see, that was 15 or 16. How about 17 and 18 then? Okay. Okay, so the Lord wants us, he wants us to have that first love, doesn't he? And not to be lukewarm. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So this, back in Romans chapter 1, this mutual faith. So what kind of an impact do we have upon other Christians around us? Do we encourage them to serve the Lord, or are we just lukewarm and do they feel great just being lukewarm? So what's the impact? It's interesting that Paul talks about here in verse 12, the mutual faith, both of you and me. So I don't know about you, but what strikes me in this is that we look at Paul as a great man of God, and yet he is saying, you know what, you people encourage me. And, you know, how do we encourage others, and how do they encourage us? So, you know, if I'm out and I'm never witnessing, you know, if I'm never handing out a gospel tract to anyone and I'm with some other Christians, then, hey, that's fine, you know. I'm saying in the mind of the other person, you know, okay, well, I can just go along lukewarm and it doesn't matter. But if I'm out handing out tracts to somebody, it'll encourage them. Years ago, we sent some tracts to a person in Jenison, Michigan, and it just happened to be a friend of Brother Bob Totten's. And so this friend of his, I don't know if he realized that's the church that Brother Totten went to, but anyway, he talked to Brother Totten about it. And we'll come to find out that those friends of the Tottens were Christians, but it just encouraged them to receive a gospel tract. It's kind of strange, isn't it? When you go out witnessing and talk to someone and they're a professing Christian and they're not too friendly. You know, That's strange, isn't it? I mean, you would think with other Christians, they would be happy that someone's handing out the gospel, but not always that way. So to me, it just struck me here when Paul says, you know, the great missionary talked about the mutual faith, both of you and me. So the encouragement goes both ways. Notice in Romans chapter 14, Romans 14, I've just been praying lately when we've been sending out gospel tracts. I just, you know, kind of don't look where I'm going, you know, with my finger in the phone book. And I've just been surprised how many businesses I'm landing on. And normally, if I look through the phone book, I would never send a gospel tract to a business because I just think of the multitude of people. But someone has to open the letters to businesses. I know many people send out, and I have many times, gospel tracts in paying the bills. And a lot of people do that. So somebody has to open those packages. Romans 14, and how about a volunteer for verse 7? Romans 14, 7. Brother Joe?
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself.
Okay. So we all affect others. This verse really hit me when I was working at a truss rafter factory, and God was just burning in my heart about how I could get the gospel out. And so I've told you many times, but I started carrying my Bible, and other Christians began to carry their Bibles. And I put up a gospel track rack in the lunchroom, and I got permission to do it. And then my boss told me, he said, the owner of the company was by the other day, and he was looking at that track rack, and it was Christmas time, just about now. And, you know, I worked with a bunch of guys who drank liquor and, you know, like many places, a rough bunch. And so with all my tack and everything, you know, I put up a little banner on that track rack and wrote, "Will you drink yourselves to hell this Christmas, or will you receive Christ and get saved?" That's just what I said on it. And so my boss came by and he said, the owner of the company was looking at that. And the owner of the company was, I think it was Reformed. But anyway, whatever church he went to, they didn't see any problem with drinking alcohol. You know, they wouldn't approve of getting drunk. So I figured my track rack was going to get the axe over that. But so I said to my boss, I said, well, do you want me to take it down? And he said, no, I'll leave it up. And so praise the Lord, to get out the word. So, but I just saw what it did there because I was not the eldest. You know, I always used to think, well, it's only the older people that affect the younger. But that's not necessarily true. I saw the truth of this verse, and it's never left me since then. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So, but it's not just affecting unsaved people, but it's encouraging the saved. So back in Romans 1:12, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, with Paul, you can tell in his writings, he's always anxious to go preach the gospel. Could I have a volunteer to read verses 15 and 16? 15 and 16. Brother Tim? Okay, so Paul was always itching to preach the gospel. He was ready, willing and ready. So it's interesting that he talks about the mutual faith, the encouragement of other Christians. So something for us to think about there. And notice in Daniel chapter 1, that made me think of Daniel. Talk about mutual faith. Talk about encouraging one another. Daniel chapter 1, Daniel 1, and how about, let's see here, verses 4 and 5. Can I volunteer for verses 4 and 5? Brother Jim?
For
Okay, so the king had plans, and of course, Daniel and his friends were captives. And, you know, it always takes someone to take the lead, doesn't it? I mean, you can be working amongst some Christians and maybe not know for sure if they're saved until somebody speaks up. Last night, I took a file in to have it printed, the picture out here in the entryway. And so when I first took it in, you know, there's some, well, there's, I think there was two at that point when I took it in. There was a lady and a guy. And that was interesting. The guy, he had a beard, and in his beard, he had Christmas ornaments. that was interesting. Okay. And so anyway, I'm talking to them about this picture, and I says, now, when you do it, could you please lay it flat, not roll it up? Because once they roll it up, it's hard to ever get the thing flat again. When you put it in the frame, it's still like the waves of the sea. And so I was telling them that, and, you know, it was kind of just straight face. And so I left it. I got a call a little bit later on, and they didn't know if they were going to be able to do it because they started to do the poster, and they ran out of poster material. It was the end of the roll. And so I said, okay, well, must be, it's not supposed to be up for Sunday. So I got a call a little bit later, and they said, I thought they didn't have any more paper there, but I guess they did. So anyway, they did it. And so I went back in, and the lady was still there, but two other guys, and not the bearded Christmas tree. Okay, he wasn't there. So, but the one young man said, I think that turned out really good. And the other guy was saying something like that, and the girl, I mean, they were all just kind of really liking the picture. And, well, the picture is a scripture verse. So it takes that breaking that ice, doesn't it? The bearded Christmas tree wasn't there, so I don't know what he thought about it. Maybe it upset him. Maybe he moved to a different department. I don't know. But it takes that, doesn't it? It takes someone to break the ice to get the conversation going about the Lord. And I told them, the other two, you know, the Lord bless you. And I told the same thing to these three as well. But it takes someone to begin to talk about the Lord. And so we have Daniel and his friends. So the king here is telling them, you know, okay, they're going to have to eat my meat, drink my wine. But as we drop down then into verse 8, how about a volunteer for verse 8? Daniel 1, 8. Okay, Brother Tim?
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Okay, so you talk about, okay, someone's got to take the lead. Someone's got to stand up for the Lord. And remember, all of these Jews that were in Babylon, you just stop and think. We don't read anything about their parents anymore. Were their parents all slaughtered when Nebuchadnezzar took over? I don't know. But they obviously were separated from their families, their siblings, their parents. But Daniel was the one. Now, we're going to see in just a few minutes his three friends are right with him. But it took someone to stand up first. And so Daniel's the one. And let's read then verses 9 and 10. Daniel 1, 9 and 10. Could have volunteered for that. Brother Barry? Okay, now to whom did he ask this request, verse 10? Okay, the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said, no, you'll endanger my head. It's kind of like when I was out witnessing with Brother Michael. We took turns when he was here, but I guess I was out with him twice when he gave his testimony. And each time he gave his testimony, it was, if I go back to Iran, they will kill me. And each time it was, they'll kill me. And it really got people's attention, you know, wow, this is serious. And when Daniel brought this before the prince of the eunuchs, that's what he said in verse 10, the last phrase, then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. And so he was not willing to do it. So then we see Daniel goes to someone else. And let's see, could I have a volunteer to read 11 through 14? 11 through 14. Okay. Brother Joel? Okay, so what's interesting is Daniel goes to the top guy first. He goes to the prince of the eunuchs, the guy who's in charge of all the eunuchs, all like Daniel and his friends. That guy said no. So then in verse 11, who does he try to talk to this time? Melzar. And how do we know where he fits in the position line? Okay, the prince of the eunuchs had set Melzar over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So sometimes in life we're just tempted, hey, I'm going right to the top. I'm not going to mess around with little people. Well, he went to the top and that didn't work. The prince of the eunuchs wasn't willing to do it, but Melzar... Now you have someone a little closer to Daniel and his three friends, and now Daniel also puts forth the plan. Okay, Melzar, try this test for 10 days, okay? So, you know, how skinny can we get in 10 days? Okay, just a little test, see what our countenance looks like and what the other people look like. So he was willing to do that, and the test... worked, verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So, verse 16, he took that away. So it's Daniel, we're talking about mutual faith now. How can we encourage one another? Daniel was the one that dared ask, but he had these other three close friends. And so, could I have another volunteer to read? There's some longer verses. So how about 17 and 18? Daniel 1, 17 and 18. Okay. Brother Jim, how about 19 and 20? 19 and 20. Brother Jared, okay. Okay, so if you hold your place here and turn back with me to Romans 1:12. So it says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual faith, and then back in Daniel chapter 1. So Daniel was the one who dared ask, And his three friends here were with him. So the mutual faith, and you know, it didn't just end there. If you go in Daniel chapter 2, and in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. His spirit was troubled, his sleep broke from him. Verse 2, he commands the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans to come in, and they couldn't answer. They couldn't tell the dream and the interpretation of it. And so the king gets upset. And let's pick up in 2:11. And let's go to 11 through 13. So Daniel 2:11 through 13. Can I have a volunteer for that? Okay, Brother Joe.
It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard,
okay, and let's see, then 15 through 17, volunteer 15 through, Brother Tim?
He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and
okay, so do you notice once again, it took someone, I mean, the decree was going forth to kill all the wise men. So it took someone to step forward, and it was Daniel. But notice the mutual faith. Once again, he comes home and tells his three friends about it. Verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So as we think about this week, okay, we may be in some situations where it's unknown who's around us. Are there any Christians? Someone's got to talk about the Lord first. So, okay, so how do I do that? Well, we got to have a little salt. A lot of grace and a little salt. So let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So I've got to do this. So it might be saying in a group of people or a single person, the Lord bless you. See how they respond. There may be an awkward silence. Well, then you know. Or it might be, well, the Lord bless you. So that's one way to break the ice and just to see. But it takes someone to break that ice. And then the mutual faith. You might find then you're talking to another Christian that you can both encourage in the Lord. So that's what Daniel did, and he was a good example there. And then later on, the three Hebrew children, they'll be tossed into the fire, the fiery furnace. The mutual faith. So let's go back there to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse 12 once again. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And you know, in the ministry, it can be so one-sided, so conceited, as well as any other matter on earth. And notice with me in John chapter 4. You know, when someone gets saved, do we understand really how much has gone into that one person getting saved? In John chapter 4, and verse 35, and let's see. How about 35 through 38? We'll volunteer. John 4, 35 through 38. Brother Barry? Okay, so it's the mutual faith, the mutual laboring together. Jesus made it clear to the disciples. You know, later on in the day of Pentecost, they would see thousands saved on one day. But from this here, you know, they knew that they couldn't just pat themselves on the back, wow, you know, I'm such a soul winner, I'm such an evangelist. They knew from this instance right here, as they thought back, that, you know what, it's the mutual faith of others who have sowed the seed. It's the mutual labors of others. So may the Lord help us, concentrating on this Romans 1:12. The great Apostle Paul, the great pioneer missionary, commended the people of Rome, saying the mutual faith, both of you and me, we can encourage one another in the Lord. And so as we go through our lives, let's do that. Let's encourage one another. Sometimes it may take us stepping out first. Maybe in another instance, another Christian will step out before you or me. But let's encourage each other to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us to not be arrogant, conceited, filled with pride. Lord, help us to realize that we need others. We need the encouragement, and they need our encouragement. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us this week that by our mutual faith, we would be a witness to the lost, and that we would be an encouragement to the saved. An encouragement to the saved to live for God, even in hard times like Daniel and his three friends. And that, Lord, that this week, Lord, that we would not be lukewarm and that we would not be cold, but that we would be hot to serve you, that we would have the desire to serve you, not to be lukewarm and not to be cold. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts just by seeing what happens with other Christians, how that they too then get excited to serve you. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, please help us this week to glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. About 9.